Avinu and his family come back to Eretz Yisrael. They meet Esav. The whole family meets Esav. And then they part ways. Chumash tells us, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov comes back whole to Ir Shechem, and he encamps outside the city. Then the Chumash tells us the following. Vateitze Dina bat Leah asher yalda Yaakov lirot bivno ta'aretz. Now Dina, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Yaakov, went out to look over the daughters of the land. Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Chivite, the prince of the region, saw her. He took her, lay with her, and violated her. He became deeply attached to Dina, daughter of Yaakov. He loved the maiden and appealed to the maiden's emotions. So Shechem spoke to Hamor, his father, saying, take me this girl for a wife. Now, obviously, this is a very, very emotionally challenging psukim to understand. And let's say at the outset, whatever we say today, we're not laying blame on anybody, and we're not looking at this from an emotional perspective of whose fault was this and why did it happen. We don't know. That's what we'll talk about. The question that I would like to deal with, Emir Tashem, is what are some of the lessons that we can learn, taking that emotional part of us and leaving it outside for the next hour, what we can gain for our own lives. With saying that, let's ask two specific questions. One is, Vateitze Dina, why did she go out? Lerop Ivnota Aretz, what was she looking at? What was drawing her to go out? What's the whole idea that the Chumash is emphasizing for us? Why does he even tell us, Vateitze Dina, that Dina went out? And then let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi tells us, why is she called the daughter of Leah, not the daughter of Yaakov? So source number four. Because her going out, she is called the daughter of Leah, for Leah was an outgoer, as it's written, and Leah went out to greet him. Regarding her, it has been said, like mother, like daughter. What Rashi is referring to is a pasuk in Parashat Vayetze, which is alluded to in source number 3, that after the exchange was made, that Leah Imenu gave the Dudaim to Rachel Imenu in exchange for being with Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu would have normally gone to Rachel Imenu's tent that night. Leah Imenu didn't want to make a greater scene than needed to be, so she didn't wait for Yaakov Avinu to come to Rachel Imenu's tent and then take him out. But Tetzai Leah Likoto, Leah went out to greet Yaakov Avinu and said, "A light of a, tonight you're coming to me because I have acquired you with the dudaim of with the mandrakes of my son." So there you see, Vateitze Leah, that Leah went out. Vateitze Dina, Dina went out. Like mother, like daughter. The mother goes out, the daughter goes out. Which would seem to imply that this characteristic of going out is a negative characteristic, like mother, like daughter. And what do you expect? Obviously something's going to happen. The question we have on this, and this is the question that many of the Mefarshim ask, we'll see in Rav Svei, Ruch Eliyahu, L'chora devar derei shava, now we have to understand something. Halobi yitziat Leah likrat Yaakov, my son Dudaim, hayula kavanot nizkavot. When Leah Imenu went out to greet Yaakov Avinu, she had the most lofty of intentions. She wanted to have one of the shiftei kara. He afchel lomo kedei lizkopi yisachar. And who did she have that night? And the Gemara says, Shavu Kadosh Baruch Hu siyeh ba'osel ma'asa, that Hashem helped her be able to have this child. She had son and Yisachar. Who came out of this union that night? It was Yisachar, one of the greatest of the Shvatim, Yodei Bina. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. It wasn't any Sheva that came out. So clearly, Leah Imenu's overtures were met with tremendous success, and Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol gave the stamp of approval. So here we see that Leah Imenu's going out was positive. Ketzadim kein yesh mekach lamrotzo tviya Leah. So how can we now come along and say, you know what, there's a problem with Leah going out? Atzeh shayach lomar sheyetziyah zu hayta bekocha ligrom et yetziyat Dina lerop ivno ta'aretz, to almost say, well, you know why Dina went out? Because, you know what, like mother, like daughter. Mother goes out, daughter goes out. Well, hold on a second. Mother going out was positive. All right, so here it didn't come out so positive. So it's as if you're blaming Dina's character traits on her mother, but her mother was positive. In what way can we lay the blame on Leah? How do we understand this dynamic? So that's our second question. Let's begin with trying to understand what was it that Dina went out for. And again, there's a lot of Torah on this, midrashim, that they lured her to go out. We're leaving all these midrashim aside. Let's take a look. We'll begin with the Chasam Sofer, source 6. In fact, Dina went out to discover for herself the immoral lifestyle of Shechem's daughters, and to appreciate how different she was. Moreover, she hoped to be rewarded for being exposed to Shechem's promiscuous behavior and yet not following in their ways, and a type of behavior sanctioned by the Talmud on occasions. Dina's motives, while doubtlessly sincere, were mistaken for several reasons. As our rabbis say, Pirtza kor'a l'ganav, literally a breach invites a thief, exposing yourself to a lewd environment and the hope that you'll be rewarded rather than affected negatively is an unacceptable risk. Also, on a more esoterical approach, Dina wanted to see if there was any sparks of sanctity, Nitzotzei Kedusha, any souls that could be salvaged and brought to Torah among the daughters of Shechem. Her sincere efforts were rewarded when eventually the women of Shechem were captured and converted to Judaism. However, such a noble cause of bringing to the forefront and releasing the latent potential for sanctity is a very, very difficult thing to do. So really, Vatetzei Dina, Dina went out, she was going out for lofty intentions, notes the Chasam Sofer. She's going out to be able to pick up the sparks. She's going out to show the difference between their behavior and her behavior, to get rewarded for these differences. What was the problem with this going out? Why is this going out so negative that the Chumash mentions Vatetzei Dina and these horrible consequences that happened? So here, and again, I'd like to look at it more objectively rather than the specific case that we can learn lessons for our lives. The word yitzia, the idea of going out in itself, is very, very, very important. And this is what Rav Rolbe speaks about. And he says, you should know that any time you leave, shiyotzim mahageda haragil vasiva regila, yitzia af la mitzvah, even if you're going out for a mitzvah, when you leave your normal, what we call comfort zone, adayin yitziyahi is still going out. And from the going out of Leah, you have the going out of Dina. And any time you go out, you're opening yourself up for danger. And he explains that this is the idea of the Ishi Jifar Torah. Ki teitze la melchama levecha, when you go out against your enemy in war. And the story there, Barkini Parshak Yitetze, is an Ishi Vatora, a beautiful woman that you want to take, and all the laws regarding this. Notes Rav Chaskel Levenstein, that who are we talking about here? We're talking about people, we've discussed this before, who were the soldiers were people who didn't even talk between putting on the tefillin shell of the hand and the tefillin of the head. These are people, the greatest tzaddikim. You're going to say about them, the chashakta about, that these holy people, you know, were drawn to a woman just by her beauty? Notes Rav Chaskel. Shibamakom shibo yesh yitzia e efshar lada la'an efshar lagia. When we're talking about leaving, you have no idea what could happen. We know the Gra would go out. If he would leave his house, he would say the second chapter, learn the second chapter of the Silsi Chari and Zahirus, like 13 times. How careful you have to be any time you go out, you don't know what you're exposing yourself to. If that was true of the time of the Gra, can you imagine in our times what we expose ourselves to? And this is the idea, that when we stand by the mezuzah, this is part of the tefillah that the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch brings, that you daven by, when you leave your house in the morning, to daven by the mezuzah, Hashem Shamri, Hashem Shewatch Me, Hashem Tzili, Al Yad Yemini, Hashem is the my guardian, my right side, Hashem Yishmor, Tzeiti, Voi, L'chaim, L'sham, L'matav, L'lam, Hashem Shagard, my coming and going for peace from now and forever. Yes, Hashem has to guard me because it is scary to go out in this world. Yimamish have to daven for this type of protection. K'sha'ana yotzim ha'mizkeret ha'regilah shalana, when we leave our normal mizkeret, our normal environment, ikar avodah b'zehi lidragel, we have to be very focused on Divrei Torah, that we don't get lost. They say that Rav Dessler was once asked, how do you manage flying around all the time, collecting money and teaching? He says, for me, it makes no difference if I'm on a plane or on the base of Medrash and Panovich. I'm in Torah. Wherever I am, I'm in Torah. Most of us aren't on that level. Vatetzei Dina, Vatetzei Leah, Yitziah in general. Anytime you have the word Yitziah, red lights go on. Know that anytime you leave, you're opening yourself up to be exposed to things that you're not used to when you're leaving your natural habitat. And this Rav Achweigel echoes by saying, Dina Yatsami Beit Yaakov Makom Kadosh Vira La Mashira. What happened to her happened to her. She's leaving a holy place. So Rikol Adam Lishmartzvo, a person has to watch himself. Shelo Yitzemi Ben Kotle Beis Medrash Adavar Karuch B'Sakana. You shouldn't leave the Kotle Beis Medrash, which is physically the Beis Medrash, right? Lakewood Yeshiva is talking about in this particular clay. And conceptually, the environment that you are accustomed to because of the challenges. Now, we're not getting into here. I know people might be saying, does that mean you have to, you know, live in Square Town and you have to cloister yourself up? Everyone has to decide how much they're going to, you know, shelter whatever members of the family in every way they can. Within that milieu, there is going out. You know, I just remember on a personal level once my younger daughter going out on a Friday night, which she normally doesn't do, in Ramat Beit Shemesh to a friend's brother, Shalom Zachar. And she came back, and I said, you know, how was it? And she said, you know, I never knew Ramat Beit Shemesh was like the airport. So I'm thinking, you know, flying high, you know, like, what way are we like the airport? So she described, she said, she'd never seen that boys and girls are hanging out together. And when has she ever seen this in the airport? So for her, the airport, right, we don't have movies, TV, or the airport was a sign of complete, you know, lack of sneeze. So in her mind, that happens in the airport. It doesn't happen in our own backyard. When you go out, you're exposing yourself to seeing things. Good or bad is irrelevant. It's just that the yitziyah, the going out in itself, is exposure. So the first thing that we see, what we learn from Dina is, Vateitse Dina, and again we're not laying any blame here, is that when you leave, you're opening yourself up, and we all know this to be true, and we have to be aware, and we have to be on guard for these things. But it goes much deeper than that, my friend. It's not just the going out, it's the going out. What do I mean by that? Says the Ish Tamid, Source 10, Nira Levire, Kavanata Midrash. Sometimes a person does something small. And that's what I mean by going out. Is it a big deal to leave your house? Is it a big deal to leave your normal environment? You think it's something so small. I'm going to this particular place. It's going to have any impact on me. It's going to have any effect on me. This isn't going to make any big difference in life. What's the big deal? And you see here that one small act, which was like, you know, I'm just going to see the daughters of the land. I'm going to see, you know, dance festival. It's not a big deal. You see the tremendous ramifications. We learn from here. We don't know every small act we do what the consequences will be. And can impact people for generations, like her going out and the whole city of Shechem being destroyed. We never know what anything is going to do and the way it's going to impact us. Vishas Rav Aaron Cutler, adds to this, and he says, "Dekol pula hargasha machshava haskama milva mitziuta latzma." Every act, every thought that we do, aside from the effect in and of itself, hariosa hashrad abba nefesh, it impacts us on our soul level, and it sets patterns in our mind, in our brain, in how we behave. And he notes, he says, "Hamasima ba'im batid achinachol lomar shemitziut adam." It impacts us now and in the future, that we can safely say that the mitzios of a person, the reality of a person, Source 12, umahuto, and the essence of a person, hen klal ha-masim sha'asav ha-machshavot she-chashav. If you were to describe, who am I, who are you, we are really the sum total of the acts that we do and the thoughts that we think. Like we know, the Sefer Chinuch points out that a person could be a Rasha, a wicked person, and they act continually on a positive level. They turn into a tzaddik. They turn into a positive person. And the opposite is true as well. And we have to understand, ki pnimiyuto shel adam, nafsho v'rucho, the inner part of us, who we are, he begeder chomer yuli mibchinat yechotah lekabel tzurot shanot, u'masav machshavotav hem ha'kvurim tzurato. We're really like a blank slate, like a tabula rasa. And that which I imprint upon myself, my thoughts, the people I meet, the things that I do, create who I am. So what we have to understand is, and you know, sometimes we have this feeling like, you know, the great things that we do in life and the great struggles in life, those are what make an impact on us. But the small conversations we have in life and the small interactions we have in life and the small decisions we have in life and the yitzios and the where we're coming and going, what's the big deal? And the answer that we see from this section of Chumash, of a Tetzei Dina, it is a big deal. And the things we do impact us. Rav Wolbe, in Aleh Shur, source 13, he says it so beautifully. He says, Hakol talui b'maisim k'tanim davka, in the bracket. Everything's really dependent on a small action. Ach zoi ha-chokhma shel binyan ha-adam, this is the brilliance of building up a person. Gam ha-olam ha-gadol eino nivne migushim anakim elom ha-tomim kol zirim shei mekoh ha-chayim lavchin otah. Look at the human body. What are we made of? We're made up of all these cells. This all this DNA that you need a microscope that's going to, you know, magnify it 100,000 times. We don't even see these things, but we know that one cell goes, you know, crazy, and lo aleinu, it can kill a person. These small things are what make us make a person. And that's what you have to understand. The small, even if you can't see it, has such an effect on who we are. And he says, likewise, ha'adam hu merkav mimasim shadam dash bikvavim tov limutav. For better or for worse, we are the product of what we do. Yidiyah zot tzricha l'chalom ha'pekcha m'machshvateinu. It should create like a whole, you know, revolution in the way we think. Because ha'adam rotzal l'takein olam. A person wants to change the world, you think. You have to do major things, you know, a major ergun olami, a major organization you have to do, and all these type of things. You think big. But minor things, you know, what's the big deal? No. Ulam ha-mekachi in the dafka masing tanim nifne ha-adam. From the small things, a person is built. It says, take a look at medicine, right? It's, you know, in milligrams is a medicine, a pill is made of. It's not the major things. You can OD on major, minor, small. This is what we're made up of. And this is what Rabbi Jacobson, based on the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source 14, he says, you cannot add more minutes to the day, but you can utilize each one to the fullest by totally investing yourself in every activity that you do. 15 in the asterisk, many of us have learned to look at each step, at each day in our life as almost an inconsequential side trip that is disconnected from any larger journey. But the secret to any journey is to fix your eye on the destination, to keep traveling steadily toward it. Veering off even for a short while is at best a loss of time. At worst, we get confused and find it difficult to return on course. Remember that in the journey of life, your body is the vehicle, but your soul is the compass. By following its voice, remain focused on your destination. Each step, each day, brings you closer. How you live today determines how you will live tomorrow. The very next thing you do, no matter how small, will determine the rest of your day and ultimately the rest of your life. That's what we learned from Dina. And that's why, as Matok La'or bringing Rav Shraga Grossbad Dat Shraga in Source 16, from this one act, Ma Garam L'chol Derim Hadolim Ha'elu, from Vateitze Dina, you have an entire town that is wiped out. Mikan Musaros Gel Adam, to put a Sim Lev LaPratim Haktanim, and Machshava Amaisa, because we are built on this. That's idea number one. What do we learn from the story of Dina? What was the implication of going out? She went out, l'shem shemayim. She went out to do good things. However, when you do those acts, as small as they may be, or as great as they may be, they're implications, they're ramifications. Going out in itself opens you up for the unknown. And that's the consequences of what we see in our parsha. And the message and the lesson, one of them, for us to learn, is that we shouldn't think that small acts are inconsequential. Oh, I'm just going out to see. Oh, I'm just doing. Oh, I'm just thinking. Now, obviously, I know someone may be saying, or more than one somebody, oh my gosh, if I live my life this way, I'd go neurotic. I'd go crazy. I'd stay under the covers. Well, you know, staying under the covers is also an act, and there's also a decision that also creates who you are, but that's only parenthetical. Okay, I understand that. And I understand that if we actually thought about each thing we did, it may cause a tremendous amount of neurosis. So that's why when we stand by the mezuzah, or we stand in Shemoneh Esrei, and we think about our day, ask for Shiata D'Shemaya before we take three steps back. Go through your day, what you're about to do, the stores you plan on visiting, the people you plan on visiting. What's your day the way you envision it? And ask Hashem for Shiata D'Shemaya, help from above, that every single thing that you should do before you leave the house, by the mezuzah, David, Hashem, help me out. I can't think about every single thing. I'm going to go crazy. But let me go through it with you. And let me at least have an awareness that that which I do, that which I say, has implications, and it creates who I am. And that I can't say, well, I am the product of, I am the product of decisions that I make, and the decisions that I make have consequences in determining who I am. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to act upon that. That's idea number one. Let's understand going out on a different level. And that's the level of snis, that leaving, going out, is counter to what the idea of being sanua, sanua is translated as modesty, as inwardness, is all about. Indeed, in the Sefer Daughters of Dignity, she talks about the dignity of women. And she says, let's take an example of the holiest Jewish artifact, source 18, the Sefer Torah. Since the Torah is so holy, we would expect it to be displayed openly in every Jewish home. Yet this is not the case. The Sefer Torah is kept in a velvet mantle, hidden in the Aron Kodesh. Even when the men read from the Torah in Shul, between one Torah reading and the other, they cover the Sefer Torah with a velvet cloth. Why is the Sefer Torah hidden? Are you ashamed of it? Of course not. Quite the contrary is true. We understand the sanctity of the Torah, and therefore we treat it with dignity. Every Jew is a living Sefer Torah. The laws of Sneas are designed to protect the dignity of the Jewish nation. We know that the epitome of holiness, Hashem, is concealed, as it's written, Kvod Elokim Haster Dover, Hashem's glory can only be perceived when He's hidden. We cannot see Hashem's countenance, hear His voice, or comprehend His ways. Moreover, Hashem rests in Shechina, in a hidden place, the Mishkan. Yes, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish nation are all holy and therefore kept hidden. Hence, we are all connected, as it is written, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish nation are all one. Thus, through behaving and dressing in accordance with Torah standards, we are strengthening our sacred bond with the holy partners, Hashem and His Torah. So this is true in general, that every Jew is holy. It's even more true of women. She says in source 20, imagine walking into a jewelry shop which is set up like a grocery store. Rows of open shelves of jewels are displayed in the same way as food products are lined up at a supermarket. This is highly unlikely. Why? For cakes and cookies are inexpensive products and can therefore be openly displayed, while jewelry, which is valuable, must be enclosed in a locked place. Thus we learn that the more precious an item is, the more it is concealed within public. And that's the woman, Shasani Kirsono. Women were created with an innate desire for spirituality and with created with the will of God, created by God Himself, and therefore she needs to be more concealed. And the concealment is not because there's something wrong with her, fakir. It's because of her exalted status that she is concealed, that anything that is valuable is not openly displayed. Let's try to understand this a little bit even deeper. The Daktraga in Chinuch points out in 21, Chok v'zman natan lahem shalishin tafkidam. Kadosh Baruch Hu set up that everything in this world, everything He created, He gave l'msimah misuyemet. He gave with a certain purpose. Umahi, what's that purpose? Shelo yishnu tafkidam. Hashem envisioned a certain purpose for every aspect of creation. And b'chol nivra kavak Kadosh Baruch Hu etivo v'kocho v'natam v'kolach shelo l'shnoto. And Hashem implanted into that creation that it should do what it was told to do and not shift. And this is why, in fact, we are told, Hazino Shemaim Va'aretz, Haidoti Bachem Ayomat Hashemaim Va'aretz, we're told to look at the heavens and the earth, and part of looking at the heavens and the earth is to become inspired. Have you ever noticed that the sky doesn't fall to the ground, and the ground doesn't fly up to the sky? Have you noticed that the sun is in the daytime and the moon at night? Have you noticed that rain falls downward and not upward? Right? You ever see that, you know, trees and plants are growing in an upward manner and not a downward manner? Why? Because that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. And every creation is instilled within the creation is doing Hashem's will. If that is true of the creations of the inanimate, it's also equally true of us. Granted that people have bechira, people have free choice. Nevertheless, that just like Hashem implanted in the sun, come out during the day and shine and do your job as a sun, we are implanted to do our jobs as well. Men with their jobs of the kishua to go conquer, and women with their jobs of being more inward. And indeed, he says, V'yidu'im divrei chazal, in the asterisk in 22, the second one, al kol ever ever shayah boreba, with every limb that Hashem created, the Medrash says, Reshi Rabba hayah omer la, tehei isha tznua, tehei isha tznua, you should be a modest, you should be modest. And he knows in 23, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar Kol Evev Ever Teitz Tzruah V'Tzarich Lipponen L'Shei Ma'ayah Tzarich Lomar Kol Evev B'Miuchad. Why does Hashem have to say it by the hand, by the foot, by the every single part of the body? And he says, "Imsenu Le'Dimikan," because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hitbiya B'Teva Hisha V'Natam B'Koach Tzriyot Miuchad. By Hashem saying that, it wasn't just saying, this is what you have to do. He's saying, this is intrinsically who you are. Every part of you is wired to be someone who's going to be internal. And that is why when we're mechanech, when we're teaching girls, women, about tznius, we are so mistaken just to focus on the tznius of clothes. Tznius, modesty, the internal, inner world, is really about every aspect, every limb. The way we talk should be tznius. The way we walk should be in a tznius way. It's about not flaunting yourself, not just in clothes. It's in behavior. It's in dress. It's in mode. It's in stance. It's in every aspect. This is who intrinsically a woman is. So, you know, people say, well, isn't this, sexist and feminine, you know, against feminism. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with intrinsic. Is there something wrong with the plant that is growing upward and the daffodil looks like this and the rose looks like that? That's who it is. That's its essence, right? And if it wasn't doing that, we'd wonder what's wrong with it. A woman by essence is a woman who's more reticent, who's more shy. Shy is the wrong word. Who's more the inner world, who doesn't need to have to be going out and conquering this world. In fact, Rav Wolpe brings down Shirei Chumash in 25, that in the old days, Yushalayim Hatika, the men used to go shopping. They used to go to the shuk. The woman mamash stayed home. So obviously we don't have that today, where women are in the inner world. The women who do go out are still going out, as we'll talk about, in a more refined type of way. That's the nature of who a woman is, and a woman should not change her nature, because that is how she is wired, and that is what it's at. So if we understand that going out in itself has this aspect of potentially being to a stira, to a contradiction of tznius, now we can look at the second aspect, using this as a segue, of why is it called Dina Bas Leah. Notes the Chochmat HaMatzvur, quoting Rav Balach Zatzal, Shirei Das, Source 26, he says, when we see Dina going out here, we understand that going out, the same word is used by Leah, it means that Leah's going out. Albeit she went out mitava lamid shvatim for the finest of reasons, nevertheless lo hayta yechola latzeit likrat Yaakov lemor lo alay tavo. It wasn't possible for her to go out and say to Yaakov, you know, alay tavo, come to me tonight. Lulei hayta likuyak sap midak fuda b'mel penima. It wasn't just the going out; it was that statement, Yaakov, you know, you come to me tonight. That statement, again, tznius is not just the external going out. It's a whole mannerism of a person, the speech, the nuances of a person. When she says, I'd like to vote on some level, albeit it was a shame shemayim, and Yisachar came from it. I understand all that. But on some level, it was not the refinement. Again, the level, we're talking about the emol sakdoshis here. It wasn't the refinement that we would have expected from somebody who was complete on the level of tznius. Again, it's even hard to say this about Leah Imenu. I'm only quoting here. So therefore, since there was something so slight in Leah Imenu, That, coupled with the special wiring of Dina, then led to a much more larger detour of going out, a larger moving away from the world of Sneas, and caused what it caused. Vayalu Shiroshem Tumazu Yimatzelev Not Yisrael Ludoros Visher Behem Chisron Sneas. The problem here is that this small little fissure, almost small crack in the foundation, which became a larger crack by Dina, and Dina going out and looking at the girls of the land, what Shimon and Levi were afraid of is HaKazona Yasechotenu, and there's one Girsa Achiyotenu, all our sisters. If this isn't going to be dealt with in a very, very strong manner, who knows what chasm it's going to lead to. And that's what was worrying them. And that's why Shimon and Levi acted the way they did. It was saying, we have to make a statement. Abbas Yisrael isn't Hefker. You know, anyone can take her. There is an aspect of Sneas that we have to be careful about. And again, we're talking about, as the Das Torah points out in 28, he says, Lishtomei mizeh noras hadvarim, in the asterisk. We see here how the enormity of what we're talking about here. Ke'ekadno beruchnias. When we're talking about ruchnias, we're talking about spiritual qualities. There's nothing small here. There's nothing incidental. Even though what Leah Imenu did was so small, and, you know, it was... in the dot, she gave over just the slightest veering off, perhaps, of the way to act. And Dina then took it one step further. Like, you know, we're talking here about, you know, it's minuscule. In Ruchnias and spirituality, nothing is minuscule. And here you see that Leah Imenu, in that one statement she made, a light avot, to go out and to be so forward, was then inherited by her daughter in a much more, you know, exaggerated way, which then led Dina to actually go out to see the daughters of the land, and the consequences were very unfortunate. And Shimon HaLevi trying to draw this in and saying, we have to make a statement here, that the way of a nature of a woman has to be within the realms of Sneas, within the realms of modesty. Alternatively, and I should have said at the beginning, you got to sit through this whole class before you start getting excited and, you know, relax. We have a whole shiur, right? It's like picking up a book in the middle and, you know, stopping a book in the middle of the book and say, oh, this book makes no sense, and throwing it. And the person says, did you read to the end? It all fits together. No, I didn't read to the end. I just got frustrated. So don't get frustrated. Hold on with me. Okay. Alternatively, so this level we say that there was some pagam, there was some level that layman wasn't as careful as possible. You could say differently. And that is Rasve in Ruach Eliyahu, source 29. He says, Hari be'etzem aleinu lavin shisiya leil likrat Yaakov lo hayta devar shamabaka. For Leah to go out wasn't so simple. Right? For her to go out and say, Eli Tavo, you know what that took out of Leah Imenu? Do you know how it was a bizayon for her? It was like an embarrassment for her. This was so un-Leah-like. She had a mamish do this in order not to embarrass Rachel Imenu by taking Yaakov Avinu out of the tent when he came in. This was so... You're right, it was counter to her essence, and she did it because she wanted to have the shiftekah. It's interesting. When Yaakov Avinu benches Yisachar, he calls him Yisachar Chamor Garam. That Yisachar, you are like a donkey. And Garam literally means caused. So the Medrash Rashi brings down is, why does Yaakov Avinu compare Yisachar to a donkey? He says it was because of a donkey that you were born. Is that when Leah Imenu heard my donkey braying, she knew I came home, right? It's like hearing the garage door open, right? So when she heard the garage door open, in those days it was donkey braying, it's the same imagery, she came out and she, you know, went to greet me. So it's because of that donkey braying that she came out And therefore, I, you know, went to her, and you were conceived. So there's something much deeper here. The Zohar Kadosh says, why is Yisachar compared to a donkey? A donkey is this imagery of taking a load, that he has a load of Torah on him. Compare him to a horse. A horse is much more refined animal, a much stronger animal. It can even hold more than a donkey. Why are you comparing him to a donkey? Like, look at a horse and look at a donkey. You can't compare the two. So he says that there are three differences between a horse and a donkey. Rabbi Elazar says, one is a horse is achei mesugal lo seit motzma rabah. It can carry a lot, you're right. But however, when it has a lot on it, it starts kicking. It starts, you know, throwing a little tantrum. It does not happy. A donkey takes it without complaint. Two, hasush yesh bo gassus ruach. The horse is very arrogant. It's a very arrogant animal. Feels great about itself. A donkey, there's nothing to feel great about. So he has a lot of shiftless, a lot of humility. And three, the donkey doesn't care where it sleeps. And wherever you put it down, it's happy. The horse is, again, more of a gomifuneket. It needs to have a comfortable barn. It needs to have its hay. It needs to be much more comfortable. Lefizer narrate from Kavanat Yaakovinu Lamar. From where did Yisachar get this ability to be able to take whatever burden and do whatever's necessary that needs to be done and to sleep wherever it needs to be done and not to have this gaiva, this feeling great about himself? Chamor Garam, it comes from Leah Imenu. Leah Imenu going out that night, which was so honor her, but she says, I'm doing it. L'chvot Torah, I'm doing it l'shem Shemayim, not to embarrass my sister. I'm doing this because I want to have one of the Shiftei Ka. That quality of Leah Imenu is what enabled Yisachar to be born and to carry the burden of Torah like the donkey. Nireki b'emet migata yitzanut, this aspect of going on. Kemo shara midova kachor shonim ba'adam, yocholim l'shtamesh ba'bishnei ofanim l'tov l'mutam. Really, what you see here is that going out in of itself is not good or bad. It can be used in any way. You're right. In theory, and this is true of men and women, he says, going out is the opposite of sneas. And every Jew, man or woman, has this aspect of the inner world, of the concealed world, like we spoke about the Sefer Torah. Women have the inner world of the Sefer Torah plus the jewels. It's more. She's created. Teitzua, teitzua. Dina echen kivla kovza shal yatzanu mileima. You're right. Dina got this character trait of her mother, Leah, of going out. Aval Leah nitzla koach ze letov. Leah went out 100% l'shem shemayim for kedusha. Someone else wouldn't have been able to do what Leah did. Im kol mesirut shaita laita mukrach el midah mesuyamet shel yatzanut v'chdei lotzi zol lepoel. She needed to go out in order to accomplish what she accomplished. Dina hishtamsha gam hi bekoach zeh shel yatzanut. Dina got this attribute from her mother. Koach shetalu chachamim b'leah. Aval hi, double underline 32, kvar hishtamsha bo l'tzad ha-hefech, etzla lo yatza mikach tov v'ira ma-shira. The quality trait is neutral. It's how you use it that's the determining factor. Leah used it l'shem shamayim. Dina, again, according to Chasam Sofer, maybe parts of it were the Shem Shemayim, granted, but it was not completely Shem Shemayim. Parts of it was just to see, L'rop if not Aretz, to be able to take a tiyul, to go out and look. And that's why it what happened, happened. So it's not that we're critiquing Leah. Leah, something great happened. What we're saying is that Leah gave this over to Dina. Dina used it in a different way than Leah used it. So when Rashi says, like mother, like daughter, yes, it's like mother, like daughter. Ah, the mother, well, something good came from it, yes. The mother used it for the positive. Dina, however, did not. What we see from here, did not necessarily. What we see from here is that we have to understand that any character trait, even those of going out, can be used for the positive or the negative. And indeed, Rabbi Pliskin in Gateway to Sif Knowledge brings the very famous idea 33 of Rav Chaim Vital in Shari Kedusha, who states that all major negative character traits can be divided into four categories. And these, and I scribbled this in Hebrew on the left side, really come from the four elements that the world was created from. There's Aish, there's fire, and that character trait is arrogance and conceit. Anger is included in this category because arrogance is the root of a person who's becoming angry at others when they do not do as he wishes. Then there's ruach, which is wind, which is negative speech. This includes lying, deception, speaking derogatory about others, flattery, boasting, gossiping, good. Then there is mayim, which water, pleasure-seeking desires, coveting what belongs to others, envy of those who have more than you. And afar, which is sadness and depression, the ground. This leads to laziness, procrastination, and never satisfied with what you have. All of these four character traits in the negative form can be used in the positive form. The opposite of arrogance is humility. And this trait prevents a person becoming angry. Opposite of negative speech is appropriate silence. Opposite of all pleasure seeking is keeping away from negative desires. And the opposite of sadness and depression are joy and happiness. To know yourself, you have to be aware of all the traits that fall into these four categories. Most likely you will notice patterns in your behavior. Being aware of the roots of your traits will make it easier to develop a plan of improvement. Rav the Stipler wrote that all traits are for our benefit. They are either to be used to serve the Almighty or to serve as a test. And he notes here, and this is just a partial list, that in any situation where we can have the following: memory and forgetfulness, depth of thought, superficiality, decisiveness, inconsistency, compassion, cruelty, diligence, wasting time. At any given moment, we're using any one of these components, the Eish, Afar, Ruach, Hamayim, either for the positive or the negative. And he quotes here Rav Tzadok in 35, no trait is entirely bad. Every trait and tendency has a positive aspect. The criterion by which to measure whether any given trait you have a good or bad is to determine whether you're utilizing it according to the Almighty's will. That's the most important thing here. What is Ritzon Hashem? What does Hashem want from you at any given moment? Leah Imenu believed that what Hashem wanted from her, and you see that Vayishmael came out Leah, Hashem heard her, right? Is that she should have more shvatim, and that's why she went out and did what she did. Did Hashem want her to go out? We even saw from the Chasam Sofer that you don't put yourself in a situation that you're not sure you can handle. This is not so simple. You're opening a breach for the gun of it, the thieves to enter into. To put ourselves into a situation which are, potentially hazardous situations. Those you'd see us, those going out, aren't so simple. And the question we have to ask ourselves in any given character trait is, what does God want from us? Sometimes God does want us to get angry. Sometimes God wants us to, whatever it is, keen of suffering, to be jealous of somebody that we should grow. Every character trait you have to ask yourself, it goes back to every action that you do. A little bit of an intense cheer today is whether it's Hashem's will or not. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how similar, said each person must realize that every personality trait he has can be used both for good and for bad. One must be guided by Torah for knowledge about how to utilize each trait properly. And this is why the Megad Yosef, Rav Saretsky in 36, points out that Mikevan she'etzel Dina haya chaser to Yirat Shamayim Shaleah. Dina was missing that level of Yirat Shamayim. She wasn't one of the Imahos. She didn't have that level of fear of heaven that Leah Imenu had, and that's why what transpired. And the bottom line on this level, before we turn it on its head, is what the Tivha Torah notes, Davar Noron Vayim Mirashikan, Ad Kama Lomdim Habanim Avoteim Echli Nahek. The bottom line from all this discussion so far is how our children learn from us. V'abanon Lomdom Mimoseim Echli Nahek. Sons from fathers, daughters from mothers, ube'emes ha'avot ba'atzmam heim ha'chinuch ha'yoter gadol li'yotzei chalutzeyam. They are the biggest teachers, models. V'afil b'li shemrum lehem davar, rak b'nos b'hinagoteyam levar. Just what they say is what they do without even saying anything. That's why we have to be very careful of what we say. As Rabbi Jung points out in 39, the saying, the apple does not fall from a tree, is often true. The apple not only has intrinsic value, but develops into the same variety and strain of apple as the parent tree from which it fell. And we have to understand, my friends, what we're seeing here is, it's not just mimicking behavior. Dina wasn't even born then. She didn't even see her mother go out. There are intrinsic character traits that we give over to our children, whether we see it or not, whether we, you know, they see us act on it or not. There's a certain, you know, what we give over to our children is a genetic DNA. And when we do certain things, it creates a certain reality. And that reality becomes who we are. And that then is given over to our children. And we have to understand the tremendous responsibility a parent has, because that strain of apple is going over to the next generation. Let's summarize what we've seen, my friends, till now. And then let's look at this from a whole different vantage point. Vatetze Dina Batleya, why does Dina go out? Perhaps she's going out with Shem Shemayim, pick up sparks. She's trying to, you know, see the difference between her and them, and to appreciate her greatness, the Torah education she has. It's dangerous. Going out in itself is dangerous. Anytime you leave, you're entering into the unknown. And the unknown may bring you into being exposed to things that you're not normally exposed to. Daven by the mezuzah. Ask Hashem for protection before going out. If you want to learn, like the Gra 13 times, the second chapter of Mesilta Yesharim, you're welcome to. I'm not sure how many people will do that. David, Hashem, help me. I'm leaving the natural habitat of my home. And recognize that something as small as going out is not small. Every single thing we do has consequences. Every action we do, every thought we have, creates a certain reality within us. And as we've seen, that reality not only defines who I am, it becomes imprinted on me as who I am, and then it's given over onto my children, and that has a genetic effect generations to come. In particular, going out is counter to Sneas. Sneas' very essence is about an inward world. A woman in particular has to hate Stua, to hate Stua. Be tsanua, be inward, be inward. That's the nature of who a woman is. Le'eimenu, going out, on some level, it's so hard for us to understand, perhaps, was going against this characteristic of Yatsanin, a light tavo, come to me, and that then became even greater by her daughter, that it just opened up a greater path, and that's why Shimon HaLevi said, we have to, and that's why Yaakovina doesn't respond. It's as if he says, you're right, I hear it. Like, they had to step in and say, we have to nip this in the bud. Alternatively, we could say, no. Leah Aminu went out for the most purest of intentions. There was nothing wrong in Leah going out. She went out L'Shem Shamayim. No act is good or bad intrinsically. It's how you use it. Dina didn't have that same Yerush Shamayim, and it wasn't what is the will of Hashem, you know, truly the will of Hashem at that moment, and therefore what happened. By Leah, you do have this as the will of Hashem, and you see that Yisachar has that characteristic of Leah, of being able to be mevazah, to just embarrass herself, because she was doing this L'Shem Shemayim, a donkey. It's not, you know, the most beautiful of all animals. It doesn't matter. If this is what it means to be a Torah scholar, and this is what I have to endure to be a Torah scholar, I'm ready to do so. Then we can take a look at this whole situation from a completely different vantage point. And let's take a look at first an idea from Imre Chaim, then the Be'er Moshe, and with an idea again from Lubavitcher Rebbe. The idea we did many years ago, well, again, we'll review it here as well. Notes the Imre Chaim, and he says the following. Ein lahavin 40 et divrei Rashi, shedina lo nahagak jirak amolea ima. When Rashi says, like mother, like daughter, Dina went out, she's called the daughter of Leah, for Leah too was an outgoer. As written, Leah went out to greet him, regarding has been said, like mother, like daughter. We have this whole time been working under the assumption that that's negative. Who said it was negative? Who said, like mother, like daughter, it's negative? Just like Leah went out and it had a positive result. I understand, by Dina, it doesn't seem to have a positive result because what happened to her, I understand that. But is the two really connected? After all, the Pasuk says, Dina went out, Lirop Bivnot Ha'aretz. She went out to see the girls, not the boys. She didn't go out to Bivnei Ha'aretz. Intrinsically, what Dina did going out, you can't blame Dina. Dina was okay. Leah went out, and it was okay, L'Shem Shemayim. And like all the things the Chasam Sofer says, Dina's going out, L'Shem Shemayim. Like mother, like daughter, we're not critiquing Dina here in the least. The Be'er Moshe, the Usher of a Rebbe, continues, and he says, V'chibetete dina yishchi tzerot kolshu, ad shebiglal zeh nigrama yitziyat dina v'tfisotai yidei shchem, v'reimato yitziyat shalein no la yisachar avodat Torah. Obviously, it can't be a negative thing. And he says, v'nechzei anan sheyitziyatan yastrik shel dina hayta be'emet kedugmat yitziyat shalein. The going out of Dina was very much like the going out of Leah. Ki kashem shibitzia Leah, even though Leah going out, Lamaris Ayat, when you look at it, it looked a little bit strange, but she got Yisachar from it. Likewise, the going out of Dina was part of the hiddenness of Hashem's world, and in Likutei Torah of the Arizal, Shem had the nitzos, had the spark of Adam Harishon. And the Asher Rover Rebbe in the Be'er Moshe goes through here, and obviously this is levels that are beyond us to understand and to be able even really to wrap our head around it. He brings here, again, this is all based on the Arizal, that in Shechem was the nitzotz of the spark of the soul of Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio, who needed to come from here, as well as Rav Amram Chasita. Both of those individuals we know were Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Rabbi Chananya ben Tragio was the one who had the Sefer Torah rolled around him. And, you know, students asked him, what do you see? He says, I see the letters going up, right? And the scroll burning. He died. Kedesh Shem Shemayim. He died with sanctifying God's name. He is like a Yisachar. He is someone who taught Torah in public. And without going into the whole story of Rav Amram Chasida, he was somebody who called out, there's a fire in Amram's house. He was going to take a ladder to do an illicit act, and he's ready to publicly embarrass himself, that people should come and grab him down. And he said, where's the fire? He said, the fire's within me, and it stopped him from doing this act. There was tremendous kiddushim shemayim, publicly, privately, that came from this relationship. In fact, we learn, Chazal learned the languages of Hashem's relationship to us and us, our relationship to God, the languages of love from Dina, from Shechem's view of Dina, of Dvika, Tshuka, Chafitza, wanting, desiring. Why are we learning all of these great languages from this relationship? Sharei Ayubo in 42 in the squiggly, Nitzotzoktu Shim Shemakadesh Shem Shemayim. There was great goodness that was found in the Shechem. There were great sparks that had to be picked up. And indeed, we know that the child born from this relationship was Osnat, who was then adopted by Potipharah, who was then married to Yosef, who had the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we know that Mashiach ben Yosef is coming from this person. So just like Lot's daughter had Moav, right, we're just adding this here, that Moav came from Lot's daughters, and from Moav came Rud, and from Rud came Mashiach, David HaMelech Mashiach. Likewise, from Dina comes Osnat, which comes the children of Yosef, which is ultimately Mashiach ben Yosef. And as the Alshech points out in a number of places, in order for Mashiachs to be born, they have to be born from circumstances where the Satan looks down and says, oh, nothing major is going on here. This is a place that's, a place that I feel comfortable with, not where holiness feels comfortable with. And he says, I don't have to, intervene here. And that's why you have the daughters of Lot, and you have Yudad, Tamar, and Boaz, and Rut. In all those cases, you see that. Just like you see that by Mashiach ben David, you see it here by Mashiach ben Yosef. We don't know why. And again, take that emotional part out. Why did it happen to Dina? It's not fair. I'm not going through that. That's not our cheshbonos. That's our Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. I will say, however, that you have to understand that what's going on here, like just like Leah went out and it had a positive result, Dina going out as well has this result of Mashiach ben Yosef being born from this, and we have to understand that there are sparks that indeed were picked up. So like mother, like daughter, is not necessarily negative. And our original question, well, for Leah it was good, how come for Dina it was bad, is not a question, because two good two came from it as well. Let's just end with, again, Rabbi Tauber editing the Likutim of the Rebbe, the Sichos of the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he says, cannot be Rashi's intention that we're looking at this Rashi in a negative way, for it runs contrary to what writers said in his commentary on a previous verse. A few chapters back, where Yaakov's preparing for his encounter with his wicked brother Esav, it says, and Yaakov took his two wives, his two handmaidens, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of Yabok. And Rashi, where about his daughter? Where was Dinah? Yaakov placed her in a chest and locked her in, lest Esav set his eyes on her. For this Yaakov was punished. For had he not withheld her from his brother, perhaps she would not have brought Esav. For perhaps she would have brought Esav back to the proper path. The punishment was that she fell into the hands of Shem. In other words, in the Aram 43, it was Yaakov's isolation of Dinah, not Dinah and Leah's outgoingness, that was the cause of Dinah's misfortune. Dinah should not have been hidden from Esav. Her encounter with the big bad world should not have been avoided, and Dinah should have been welcome. Yaakov feared she'd be corrupted by a wicked uncle. He should have realized that with her firm moral grounding and unsayable integrity, she was far more likely to influence Leah, Esav, for the better. And he notes here, interestingly enough, there's another mother-daughter connection, where Rashi says that Leah cried that she wouldn't marry Esav. And he says that this is a deeper significance of like mother, like daughter. Our children inherit not only our physical traits, but also unrealized potentials. Physically, a brown-eyed mother may transmit to her child the potential for blue eyes inherited from her mother, but dormant in her genes. Spiritually, in the bracket, a parent may impart to a child the ability to achieve what? For the parent is no more than a subtle potential buried in the deep recesses of his or her soul. And that's a famous question of why did Leah cry not to marry Esav, and she's rewarded by marrying Yaakov, and here Dinah is not given over because Dinah's different than Leah. Leah knew that she wasn't there yet, but she knew that she was giving over that potential coupled with giving birth with Yaakov, that Dinah indeed would have been able to be successful. So Dinah's going out to make acquaintance with the daughters of Leah, was fully in keeping with her and her mother's unique gifts. And this sounds very much like the Rebbe, yeah? Her exposure to an alien environment would not have adversely affected her Jewish femininity or king's daughter in her glory. On the contrary, she was born to the role of the outgoing Jewess, who serves as a source of enlightening to her surroundings without compromising her modesty and inwardness. Rather, it was Yaakov's attempt to closet her that invited disaster. And going out to the daughters of Leah, Dinah was truly the daughter of Leah in the positive sense. She was not the daughter of Yaakov, for Yaakov had hesitated to put her outgoing nature to its intended use. Therein lies the message to women of all generations. The Torah is very clear about the different characteristics and roles imparted by the Creator to man and woman. Man is, quote-unquote, a conqueror, charged to confront and transform a resistant, orphan, hostile world. And that's why he's been given this more aggressive nature. Woman is his diametric opposite. Her intrinsic nature is non-confrontational, introverted, modest. That's te'etznua. For while man battles the demons without, woman cultivates the purity within. She is the mainstay of the home, nurturer and educator of the family, guardian of all that is holy in God's world. The entire glory of the king's daughter is within. But within does not necessarily mean indoors. A woman, too, has a role that extends beyond the home. It extends also to most alien of daughters and the most pagans of land. A woman has been blessed with the aptitude and talent to influence her sisters, can and must be an outgoer, periodically leaving her haven and holiness to reach out to those who have lost grounding and direction in their lives. But when she does it in a feminine way, a gentle, modest, compassionate way, to extract goodness from the evil that rages without. Confrontation is also often necessary, but it's also ineffective and even detrimental. Even the fiercest of battles need the feminine touch of the outgoing woman. And that's what we need to understand. On the second level, we're not criticizing Leah Menor at all, and we're not criticizing Dinah at all. Their going out was going out, mamish, doing what was correct. Their going out is in order to be able to impact and to create and to achieve. If anything, it was Yaakovina that kept her in that was the problem. We don't see such positive results from going out. The answer is our vision is a very narrow vision. We just look at it from, again, that emotional point of view of poor Dinah. Understand that from Dinah comes out those tremendous sparks of these great, great scholars, great holy people who come out of these, who are Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, glorify the kingdom of God, and understand ultimately Mashiach ben Yosef comes from this union, and that is what we need to understand, that even in this terrible situation, there is a larger plan, there is a larger world here, that her going out is like her mother's, like mother, like daughter, And just like Leah going out created Yisachar, which is a bastion of Torah, Dina going out created Yosef and the whole Malchus and the whole kingship of Yosef. For us, we have to understand that every action we do is important. Every action we do creates who we are and creates who our children are going to be. And recognize as well that we have to really ask ourselves in all steps of our lives, in the big as well as the small, and perhaps even more importantly in the small, what is Ritzon Hashem? What does Hashem want from me? And to be able to take those basic character traits we have, the Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar, those four elements of fire, water, dust, and wind, and be able to utilize them to be able to serve God, and indeed to be able to be people who will bring Nachas Ruach, be able to bring goodwill to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transmit that to our future generations as well.